This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 17th, episode 1740. Brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world. Well, the Hit'em crew is taking a much-deserved day off today, but fear not, because we've got a fun-filled blast from the past for you, featuring horse shopping stories, the lowdown on electrolytes and what they're made of, and of course, naked equestrians on calendars. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday!
Good Monday morning, everybody. Yes, I sound chipper because I've had two cups of coffee and I'm starting to shake.
But your extra high test this morning?
I guess so. I don't know. My little heart's a racing. I'm ready to do this.
I noticed even in the pre-show meeting, it was like, wow, she's like awake today.
I don't know. Sometimes coffee just goes down. It's like a good beer. Every once in a while you drink it, you're like, ah, that's really good. And you just keep drinking.
What most people don't realize is during the pre-show meeting, Jamie's usually sleeping.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened. But it is still too early to say the number 1,231.
I've always been tripped up by the episode numbers for some reason.
I can't do it. I can't.
Since episode number one, you've been tripped up by those numbers.
It's 6 a.m. for God's sake.
You're not a math girl, are you?
Not a math girl. Not a numbers person. But that's okay. I had a great horsey weekend. I've got a daily Winnie that's going to blow your hair back. I cannot wait to play you guys this race. It was absolutely inspiring and amazing, and had a very good weekend. So stick around. Glenn, I do have to go turn on my irrigation. It's at 6:30 or 9:30 Eastern. So I will have to disappear for a few minutes. Okay. As I go. That's what we do in the desert. We turn on our water. We don't actually get rain.
Yes,
so
yes, that's right.
I'm fortunate.
Where does your water come from anyway?
A big lake. Lake Pleasant.
Like Oregon or Washington. Yeah.
There's actually one lake here. I mean, I don't know where that lake comes from.
Yeah, where's that water come from?
I don't know. It's probably we stole it from Colorado, which actually
that's
I think
probably
we did.
True, actually.
Yeah, so.
Well, you didn't get it from Nevada, that's for sure.
Yeah, no water's flowing from Nevada to Arizona. It's just not possible. But so I live in an irrigated neighborhood. And so you sign up on Monday, you go up to the little, it's so archaic. You go to like the little neighborhood stand and you say, I want 6 hours of water. And you write a check. It's $4 an hour. Yeah, it's crazy cheap. And then you put your little check in. And then on Wednesday, the schedule comes out and you get what you get. Sometimes you get 3 a.m.
Right? So you have to be home because you have to turn it on, or they turn it on for you?
Oh, no, you have to do it. And you're responsible.
What is it, like this big thing you turn like on a ship, big wheel?
Yeah, pretty much. There's these things inside the ground and I have to stick this like big giant T-post on it and twist open these ports and I have to turn on the water. And inevitably what happens is the pressure has built so much that the second you open it up, water shoots up in your face. So I will be wet after I get done with it.
Now, does it actually flood the fields? Like puts inches of water on the fields?
Inches. Yeah.
And the horses just stand out there in it, or?
Well, I work really hard to keep my grass nice so my horses don't get turned out when we irrigate. They get turned out in the arena or the neighbor's pasture. So I'm kind of anal about it. I'm like, don't skid up my grass. So they don't go out. But no, it floods a field. So your fields are actually kind of designed to where you have berms on the outside of them.
So they're a couple inches lower than the outside, basically.
Yes. Yeah, so like our house is higher up. The whole thing is design of your property. And so, yeah, so the water comes in and fills the pasture. You'll have a picture later on Horses in the Morning of my naked child running through the irrigation because that's what he likes to do. I'll make that promise now.
That's funny. See, this is something that I think, 99% of the country doesn't relate to.
I had no, when I moved here, I was like, wait, first of all, there's no grass anywhere. So we found this neighborhood that had these properties. And the last place I lived when we started the show was a rental. So I could see if, you know, the husband and I could have a horse property together. And I was like, what is this thing you're talking about? I just let water flood my field. It's so bizarre. So I'd never had an irrigation system ever. So I've learned a lot.
And that's once a week and that's enough to keep the grass growing?
I do it, well, in the middle of summer, I'll do it every 2 weeks and then off a week. But I'll usually, like in the winter, we do it about once a month. And in the summer, most people do it every 2 weeks.
And those of us that live in Florida that get inches of rain every day just don't get that at all.
No. You don't get how hard I work to have grass. I work really hard. It's expensive grass, but it's totally worth it.
And how much did you say it was?
It's $4 an hour and I'll get 6 hours of water. This is probably boring for most people.
No, sorry. I think it's fascinating. I think most horse people are fascinated by this right now.
Yeah. So I'll get 6 hours of water. So the water is mine from the moment you, open your port until the minute you have to do it like to the minute. But the problem is, and we haven't really had a problem in this neighborhood, but we did the last neighborhood. People steal your water. And not in this neighborhood, but they'll open up their ports if they're ahead of you and they'll like get some of the trickle for free. That is something. So you get shorted on your water sometimes. And then another problem is people don't turn on or off their water on the right time. So you get less water because somebody ahead of you didn't turn it off, or you get a ton of water because there's 4 hours of water backed up in these tunnels, you know, and then your field is super flooded.
This is just bizarre.
No. Well, when you sign up for irrigation, it's apparently a legal binding contract and you're responsible for whatever amount of hours of water they give you. So if your water damages somebody else's property, you have to pay for it.
Wow.
See, don't screw up. That's why I work. That's why at 6:30, my butt's going to be out there turning on my water. So anyway, there you go. That's it.
My Daily Winnie goes out to a couple of people who have birthdays today.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy, happy birthday to you.
And this goes out to Patty Hinko, who is our representative from Omega Alpha. It was her birthday yesterday, but it is Omega Alpha Day today. Dr. Chang will be on, so I thought I'd give Patty a belated happy birthday there. And to our fine listener, Ann Svensson in Sweden. She listens to the show all the time. Happy birthday, Ann. We appreciate you, and we love that you're our only Swedish listener. No, actually, we know we have more than one, but you're our best Swedish listener. So thank you so much for listening in. We really appreciate it.
Well, I actually have two. My first one is going to go to Macy Thompson. Macy is the one who bought Jet for me several months ago and still boards him at my property. But yesterday, she went down to MASH, and her mom lives in my neighborhood too. They went down to MASH and they adopted two ginormous pigs. MASH had confiscated some
swine. That's
not
what I was expecting.
I know. I didn't know they even had them. She's like, their names are Wilbur and Charlotte, and they're two pigs that were confiscated. How do you starve a pig? I mean, seriously,
yeah, anyway,
somebody did it.
They eat anything.
And MASH also, you know, doesn't just take horses. They take livestock. So there was a couple pigs that were starved and she offered a home. Her mom offered a home. So now down the street from my house are Wilbur and Charlotte from MASH.
You
and
know what I'm really surprised at? This is a prison. The prisoners take care of these animals. Yeah. And two pigs made it out of the prison alive, which is important. I mean, fresh pork in prison? Are you kidding?
You know that Sheriff Joe makes them all eat vegetarian, too, so that must have been extra tempting.
Yeah, right. I'm really surprised these pigs didn't disappear in the middle of the night.
Oh, be dead.
Do you want another Daily Winnie?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I mean, my God, I just got to give it to Honor Code. I ruined the ending. That's terrible. I'm sorry. So there's a horse named Honor Code who did not get to run against American Pharoah in the early the Derby. I'm sorry, against California Chrome and the Derby Preakness in Belmont because he injured himself. But he was one of those we talked about on the road to the Kentucky Derby, and we were like, Honor Code is going to be amazing. And then, boom, he hurts himself. He's off the trail. Well, he's since made a comeback and has won a couple stakes races after the Belmont was over late last year. And so this year he's been running very successfully. He's only run a couple times and his name is Honor Code. And he went off as the favorite in the Whitney Stakes that happened on Saturday. Yeah, you just got to listen to it because there was some amazing horses in this race. And Honor Code is seriously like could be the son of Zenyatta. And when you hear the race, you'll understand why. Okay, go for it.
They're off in the Whitney. Normandy Invasion on the far outside is sent out, and Liam's Map's got speed from the inside, and Moreno is just to the outside of them, but Liam's Map is going to be the pacemaker. Moreno was running in second position early on, and then Normandy Invasion on the outside of Lee, while Noble Bird rides the rail around that first turn. Wicked Strong is next by another 7 lengths. Tonalist, Honor Code, and V.E. Day are all separated from the others. Oh, the pace is hot! 22-3 was the opening quarter mile as they go on to the backstretch. And Liam's Map is the leader. And Moreno is 3/4 of a length behind, running in second position. Normandy Invasion and Noble Bird are together just behind them. Then the pair of Lee and Wicked Strong who's down on the inside. It's a long, long way back. 10, 11 lengths back to Tonalist, V.E. Day, and Honor Code. And the half was 46 seconds flat. And now the field races for the far
There's
turn.
There's two races
and
right.
Liam's Map pack, has been setting this grueling pace so far. And Moreno is now being asked to go by Cornelio Velasquez. He's a length behind. And then it's Lee. Wicked Strong down on the inside. Normandy Invasion. Noble Bird's not going on. Honor Code is still about 12 lengths off the lead. Then the Belmont winner, Tonalist, and the Travers winner, V.E. Day. And they're coming to the top of the stretch. 3/4 in 109-3. They're into the stretch. And it's Liam's Map. Oh, he's got a 5-length lead coming to the eighth pole. He's run a huge race. Wicked Strong and Honor Code have a furlong to reel him in. Tonalist is next. They're coming to the final 16th. Liam's Map reaching for the wire. Honor Code running out of time. Liam's Map. Here comes Honor Code. Here's the wire. Honor Code looked like he got him in the last stride. Running down Liam's Map in the Whitney. And then it was Tonalist and Wicked Strong. And a final time.
Oh, my God. Wow. If you don't have goosebumps after hearing that. He was
like 20 lengths back.
It was like total Zenyatta, except for Zenyatta caught up a little sooner and gave it a little better stretch run. Liam's Map was like, I mean, you heard track announcer, he won. I mean, he was so far out ahead, and it's like, oh, yeah, the others are basically running for second, and then Honor Code just flattens out. And what's interesting about Honor Code is he is from the final crop of APND. He's apparently a crypt orchid, so I don't know how much he's going to even – I guess they'll still breed him. But anyway, so final crop of APND. So this is one – this is like the last – runner that we'll see really from APND unless one pops up, but just an absolute amazing horse owned by Lane's End Farm. So of course the old, you know, the owner of Lane's End is like 100 and so adorable, gets up there and has to, you know, gets awarded the trophy and talks about his farm and his horses, and he just loves it, you can tell. So anyways, really exciting race. I'll post the race on the just the last little clip of it on our Horses in the Morning Morning Facebook page, because you just have to see the end. It was just so awesome.
It was. It was really good. He was way, way back there. And he was even way back when it came to like the quarter pole. And then half, you know, with 100 strides left, he was way back.
I don't know what happened. I'm trying to just watch him.
Because it looked like the other horse thought he had in the bag and was just like sauntering in, you know?
He was running, though. He just flattened out all of a sudden and just passed. It was amazing.
There were some horses in here that we've been doing this show long enough now that names that rang a bell. I had picked Normandy Invasion, if you remember right, way, way mm-hmm. back. And then Tonalist, of course, was in there, who's a horse that always just seems to be the bridesmaid.
Yeah, well, he beat California Chrome to win the Belmont,
right?
Which is why
since then, he's kind of just been hanging around, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's see. It is officially shared. Oh, dang it! I want to do that. I'll keep working on it. I'll get it on there.
It is fun to watch a race like this when you've been following racing, and then you hear all these names, and they're all familiar mm-hmm. names from years ago.
Yeah, I thought you would like that. Normandy Invasion was your thing because you're kind of a war
Yeah, and
nerd,
I picked that, remember? I picked Normandy Invasion just because of the name. So, wow, that was a good
Shocker.
Race. Good
Shocker, race. That's how you picked a horse.
Yeah. Hey, you sent us a video yesterday because apparently you decided that you hadn't spent enough time doing Bad's Craigslist ads, that you wanted to go horse shopping again. And I thought you weren't even allowed to look at Craigslist anymore.
This was not a Craigslist thing. Side note, Jennifer, I'm emailing you the last 20 seconds of the video so you can post it, because mine won't let me post it. Anyway, so this horse came across my radar as a horse that's I'm going to give you a brief summation, in the Arizona area that is owned by a DQ and dressage queen, and she's a dressage rider, but she decided that she wanted to get a thoroughbred off the track. And has not had a lot of luck with him. Ended up sending him to a cowboy, you know, to kind of get him rideable, got him back. But from what I understand,
now he does beautiful Western dressage.
Yeah, right. No, he doesn't, actually. So the horse came across my radar as something that I might be interested in. So she is going to go to Europe and get a really nice youngster dressage horse. And her dad was like, I'll pay for your new horse in Europe. Must be nice, right? If you get rid of that thoroughbred who's going to kill you. So she didn't want to get rid of this horse, but she's kind of in a rock and a hard place. Daddy's telling her she's, you know, daddy always wins. So in some cases. So at any rate,
they're paying the bill. They do.
They're paying the bill. She's got to get rid of the horse and she has to do it kind of quick. So the horse kind of comes across my plate and I look at pictures and I'm like, oh, he's like really nice. But she is saying that he needs an experienced rider and no amateurs, no kids, no nothing. Experienced rider only. Like the warning tag on this horse is amazing. Well, I'm all Monty Roberts now and I'm like, I can ride it. And so I'm like, well, I show it to Chad and, you know, if I came home with a pig or a goat or a dog or a cat, my husband would leave me. But by God, you want to go look at another horse? Let's do it. I don't, his brain is backwards. I don't know.
Yeah, what's wrong with that boy?
I know. So we decide to go look at him. And it's Sunday morning. I decide to go to Scottsdale and see this horse. So we get there and he's in the cross ties. Oh my God. He's a 7-year-old. Bay thoroughbred that is almost 17.3. He is a monster. He is huge. No wonder daddy doesn't want her to have this horse. He is so big and he is.
Now, let's everybody keep in mind, new listeners to the show, Jamie is 5'2" and maybe a half.
I am almost 5'3", Glenn.
Yeah, okay, 5'2" and 3/4.
Yeah, you know, and so she's like, I'll get him tacked up, and she's not
she
excited.
She
used
a stepladder?
I don't know how the heck she got him tacked up. She did have a stepladder, and she chunked the saddle up there, and it's a saddle nicer than my car, of course. And Anyway,
was
so
she riding him in a dressage saddle or
no? She has a Voltaire jump saddle that was custom made for him because he's so big and has such a
Is he lean?
Cute. I wouldn't say he's lean. He's got weight, but he has zero muscle. So his top line is like an, you know, apex of a triangle. There's no back muscle. And she said that she's been riding him 6 days a week. So I was just kind of like, okay, if he's been ridden 6 days, and she was like warning me, like, you have to ride this horse all the time or he gets crazy. You know, so at this point, I don't have the greatest kind of idea about this horse, but I'm like, whatever, let's just see what you got. So she takes to get him tacked up. He tacks up just fine. He's really sleek and shiny. You can tell that the care is impeccable. He has his mane is like perfectly trimmed. His whiskers are trimmed. You know, they really he's shiny. He's bathed. His coat is buttery soft. And so I'm like already looking at him going, this is not the typical horse that I would buy. The one I would buy has a crappy coat, is starving to death, you know, like, and this horse has like really nice, expensive shoes on and the whole thing. So she takes him out, puts him on a lunge line and lunges him, you know, for a few minutes. And lunging this horse is like putting, a car on a circle and you're trying to pull the car towards you. So it's like an airplane zipping around both directions, wrong lead, counter bent, shoulders flying everywhere. And she's like, says to me, and I'm so glad, I hope she doesn't listen to the show. I don't think she does, but she says to me, isn't he a nice mover? I'm like, this horse is a nightmare. Look at him. I mean, he's like winging out, his feet are everywhere. But I said, you know, the single line lunging is always makes them, if they're not soft and moving forward and straight, then it makes them look like a train wreck. So benefit of the doubt. So finally, she gets done lunging him.
There's one group of horse that does that very well. Western pleasure horses.
Oh, yeah,
do that
exactly.
All day long.
I do it all day. Yeah. Whatever. That's about the only one.
Yeah, exactly.
So when she gets on him and she walks him around and then she trots him and then she trots him the other direction and then she comes up to me and goes to get off. And I was like, okay, hold on. Did you canter him? Did I miss the canter? I don't canter him. Wait.
He's got to have a huge canter. He's 18 hands.
He's this almost 18 hand horse and you won't canter him for me. I need to see him canter before I get on and canter this horse. And she's like, I just am not comfortable cantering him. Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay, get off. I'll get on. Now, mind you, I had to take this horse to the fence. Thank God he stood calmly at the fence for me to mount because I had to climb up to about the top rail to get my foot in this stirrup. And she's taller than me, so she's got her jump stirrups long. The stirrups were a little long, but I thought, you know what? Let me just, the longer you ride, the longer you ride. So I think I'll keep my stirrups nice and long just in case I need to wrap my legs around this horse when he goes to kill me. So, you know, I take him out and I walk him around and, you know, he's a typical off the track thoroughbred. You know, goes comfortably to the left, is stiff as a board, won't move off your leg to the right, that kind of like, you know, just stiff and whatever. But I start working him and I'm like, okay, he's starting to kind of reach for the bit a little bit here and there. He has no muscle and they have kind of deeper sand footing. So it's incredibly hard for a horse with no muscle to get round in deep footing, you know, it's just, and to keep working and to stay round. So I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. He's softening here and there. He needs a lot of work at the walk and trot. And I'm like, well, I guess we'll go for the canter. Now, Jennifer, at this point, you can post the video that I sent you on
our
horse.
It's posted up there.
Oh, good.
I'm looking at, this is you riding here or is this the other girl? It's hard to tell. It's dark. It's dark.
This is me. Okay. Riding him. His name
is got an immense stride. He moves. He covers some ground, boy.
He does. He's a big stride. He's giant. He's a giant horse. I've never ridden. I can't even think I've ever ridden a 17.3 horse.
Did you get a nosebleed up there?
The air was thinner.
Yeah.
But you know what? Our listener, Lisa, has an 18 hand horse, and now I'm kind of understanding. So I ask him for the canter, and he I went to the left lead first, and he goes into the left lead canter, and then you'll see at a part in the video, he's like, I'm not leaving the gate. I'm not going to go. And I just kicked him and sent him forward.
Look at you being little Miss Brave Rider.
But then he was fine.
Yeah, he didn't even really crow hop. He just threw his head around some.
I was like, at this point.
Although, which must seem terrifying when you're on an 18-hand horse.
You know what? It wasn't, though. Like, you know, I always say that Jet terrified me enough for every horse in the future.
That's true. And you know what? So, he didn't put a lot of effort into it. That was a test of you there.
It was so weenie.
He was just testing you. He was going, we're going to see what you're made of. I intimidated the other girl. Now we're going to see what to do with you.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just sat back and kicked him. And at that point, she was like, oh, she can ride. Okay, we're good. Because, you know, she is a dressage rider who has only ridden probably, you know, third level and above warm bloods and horses. And she admitted this to me. She told me as much. She'd never ridden a thoroughbred and thought it would be fun to get one off the track and try to retrain it. It's kind of the fashionable thing to do at times. So that's what she did. And he just kind of got her number a long time ago, and I think he heard her once when she first got him. And
well, the thing about these horses, having owned a few really, really, really big ones, is you can get hurt with these horses without even trying. I mean, they're not trying to hurt you for the most part. And I love Ellen's comment. I think his legs are longer than Jamie is tall.
Oh my gosh, I don't know how I would be able to groom that thing. You'd have to climb a ladder to groom this horse. So
what happened?
So I rode him around. I rode him the other direction. He did the same crap, and he just needs somebody to kick him forward and go, yeah, you're not getting away with that. So she said she's jumped him, but I don't know how much. You know, you just never know. You just. At any rate, he gets here tomorrow morning.
You did it, didn't you? You pulled the trigger.
I'm taking him on trial.
Yeah,
he's on trial. She was like, "You can keep him for a month." She wants him to go to somebody who
she
is
wants
going
space for her new warm, fancy warm
and
blood
she
from
wants
Europe.
Some space in the barn. Yep, exactly. And he's going to somebody who has no space.
Yeah, I was gonna say, is he gonna live in your back in your house? Is he gonna, because you have no stalls left?
I have no stalls, but Thor
has a
paddock.
Never stopped any horse girls before.
No, Thor can live in his paddock. He's more than happy to live in his paddock.
He's
and
a
I
wild
still have my
horse.
Neighbor's
just
field.
Turn him loose in the big field out
he
next
hates
door.
Being in a stall. I mean, I'm doing him a favor.
That's right. That's right. Poor so Thor's anyway. Already second rate.
Oh, gosh. Chad's like, you're not going to sell Thor, are you? I was like, honey, we're going to die with that horse. Like, don't. That horse will never go anywhere.
I think it's going to make a great horse for Chad to ride someday, too, Thor.
Oh, yeah, Chad Lucas. He'll be Chad Lucas. But he's mine now, and by God, I love him. And so, no, I couldn't be stupider. It's 115 degrees, and now I have 3 horses to ride. It's hard enough for me to get ride 2. I already have to hire a babysitter to ride 2 horses. Now I've got to ride 3 in the middle of the summer. And now I have 2 weeks to figure out if I want to do this right. So anyway, he's big and he's pretty. His name is Stormin' Ahead is his jockey club name. He raced about 15 times, 1, 2, and he
you
raced.
You know how we say names fit the horse? You might want to change that.
Well, she named him, she calls him Andy. But
that's much quieter than Stormin' Ahead, which sounds like a horse that's going to bolt at any minute.
Yes, but yeah. I have an ex-boyfriend named Andy. So,
oh, okay.
Not
well,
gonna
we're not
so,
going to go there.
Yeah. Chad, obviously, he worked with a fighter pilot whose call sign, the guy's last name was Norman. So they called him Stormin' Norman. And so I think Chad wants to call him Norman. And that's actually the town we bought the land in is called Norman, Oklahoma. So it kind of fits. So we'll probably call him Norman.
I like Norman. That'll work. Yeah. That's kind of one of those names that sounds like Norman is a guy you can trust, right?
Like Edward. Edward and Norman. Yeah. I mean, they just go together.
That's right. Norman is the guy. Have you ever met a Norman? Is the kind of quiet guy that you can trust. He's not flashy. He's just the guy you can trust. So that's perfect.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. Well, we might be changing it later.
Turn on irrigation. Awesome. Hey, Chad's here. He's going to turn on irrigation for us. So,
oh, is he? Okay.
Well, that's great. Right,
I just had the song warmed up here just in case. And I know that Dr. Chang will be with us in just a minute. So, well, congratulations, I guess.
Thank you. I guess congratulations is due. We'll see how it
God,
goes.
He's a big boy. I'm just watching this video again, and he's huge.
I think that he's going to make a novice course look ridiculously small. So I think this might be, you know, hopefully he's not as spooky as Edward. You know, Edward will jump anything in the world, but he spooks in between the fences, you know? So you get him up to one jump. He sees the jump. He's like, oh, jump that. And then he jumps it. And then he looks to the left. Oh my God, there's a person over there.
Yeah, right.
You know, the jump judge, the one who has to be there. So Edward's
meant to be, maybe he's not an inventor. Maybe he's just a show jumper.
He might be a show jumper. So we'll see, you know, kind of how this shapes my future goals for Edward, because,
well, you know, they always say the horse tells you what he wants to be, right? I mean, they eventually let you know what they want to do for a living.
Yeah, and he's fabulous in show jumping. So he might be
dressage either, was he?
Well, we're still working on that, Glenn.
Well, but what I mean is,
he's not great.
No, he so show jumper keeps coming back to show jumper.
Yeah, he could be phenomenal in dressage.
How do you end up with all these hunter ponies, by the way? I don't know how you do that.
Because eventing is hard. And to get one horse to do three things very successfully is very hard. A lot of horses don't want to do it. So, you know, the ones that don't want, you can't make an event horse be an event horse.
No. You can't make a horse do anything they really don't want to do.
Yeah. So, well, you know.
Hackney pony into a pleasure driver pony. And, you know, some days that doesn't go as well as it should. So,
yeah, but it went well this weekend. I saw your Periscope video. I watched live you hopping on the pony and driving him around the field.
Yeah, we actually drove out in the neighborhood this weekend. And we had two successful drives this weekend with no BBs, no baby bolts. So,
oh, good. Well, I guess it's not fall, so you haven't put leaves in his stall like Monty Roberts.
No, it's not fall, and you know, it is so hot here. We went out the other day. Well, you must have been up early, because I think we shot that video pretty early here, and we were back by 9:30, and we were drenched in sweat. I mean, it was just, when you're out in the roads, especially if you're driving, we tried to stay to the shady areas. It was like a real feel of 110 with our humidity, and it was just hot. You know what that feels like.
I do. I'm so tired. I'm so tired of getting up at 4:45. I get up that early to ride every morning. I hate August.
You have to, because if you're at 10 o'clock and you're not done, you're dying.
Oh, you have to be done by 8.
Yeah, we were too
late. It's 100 degrees by 8, yeah.
We were too late the other morning. It was hot over here over the weekend. But anyway, everybody else has hot too. So we're going to head now, change gears a little bit. Congratulations, Jamie, on your new toy. Let's hope that works out. We'll congratulate you in a couple weeks. How about
that? Exactly. I'll keep you guys posted. But, you know, he's got a long road. I've got to make sure I can have time for him, to be fair. And then he's got to pass a vet, because I am not buying a horse. And he's not expensive, okay? She really wanted to get rid of him, you know, to the right person.
Yeah, but we all know that that's the smallest price you'll pay.
You're exactly right. And a horse that's that big, you know, horses that big have issues. So she vetted him, and she said she had everything x-rayed on his entire body when she bought him. So she's going to send the x-rays to my vet. So hopefully I won't have to vet him with x-rays.
Because that wasn't long ago, was it?
No, it was about a year ago.
Well, that's not
so,
bad.
And he hasn't done that. Yeah. No.
Well,
so
good.
We'll see.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed for you.
Thank you.
I can't wait to meet him when we come out. That'll be fun.
Well, you're getting a little ahead of yourself here, but yes.
I always do. All right, why don't you introduce our next guest? Like, he needs any introduction, right?
He doesn't need to be introduced. He's Dr. Gordon Chang. He's the owner and chief formulator. He's the brains behind Omega Alpha Equine. And just yesterday, somebody was talking to me about, oh, do you have Regimate? Do you use Regimate? And I was like, I don't have any mares, but when I do have mares, and I have had them in the past, I give them premare, and I gave them all the information on Omega Alpha. And this was on a Facebook chat, and all these people started pouring in on this. Oh my God, you have to use premare. If you touch it, it's not going to mess up your cycle. It's just the greatest stuff. It helps with witchy mares. And it was all of a sudden, this post became Omega Alpha love. Okay. So it's, it's taking over the world, Dr. Chang. You're taking over the world.
Well, I thank you for that. I think taking over the world is pushing it a little bit. But I was listening to your preamble there before you got on to me, and you're buying a big horse, I assume. I think your most expensive part is feeding him.
Yeah, that's kind of part of the problem is I don't think Chad understands how much a 17-3 hen thoroughbred is going to eat.
Well, you know, when we had our percherons, Dr. Chang, they would eat a bale of hay a day. And at Florida prices, that gets expensive over a month. So it's like,
yes.
Yeah.
But I hear you guys complaining about the heat. And, you know, I'm from Trinidad originally. And I always say to people, you know how you tell the difference between the local and the tourist? The tourists are the ones that walk on the sunny side of the street. The locals are the one that looks at every little bit of shade that he can walk on.
Isn't that the truth? I'm in the desert. I see people laying out in the sun, and I'm like, why are you doing that? Find the shade. I understand.
Yeah, they're the tourists. They're only there for a week.
We can tell the tourists in Florida by the sunburns. That's how we can tell the tourists.
Very true.
The shade of pink.
Yes. No, bright red. Bright lobster red. Yes. That's how you can tell the tourists. Hey, Dr. Chang, before we go on and before you guys get talking here, are you coming to Ada?
I am probably not coming to Ada.
How am I going to get my free dinner? You always come to Ada and we go out to dinner.
If you show up to Toronto, dinner is on me. Not a problem.
Yay! You tell him, Dr. Chang. Free load.
Dinner is the easy part. As one of my good friends says, you know, if dinner is my biggest expense in life, life is damn good.
That's true. I like that quote. I'm going to use that one.
That is nice.
Well, I'm going to miss you. We enjoyed going out to dinner when you used to come down to Philadelphia. And I can get why you don't want to come to Philadelphia. And I apologize to everybody that lives there. But... I get it.
No, Philadelphia is a nice place to visit.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. What are you talking about?
I would go to Philadelphia repeatedly. Nothing. Okay. Well, Dr. Chang, we're going to talk to you about some single herb products and a little bit about why your electrolytes are a little different than most electrolytes. So let's start with the first part is how your formulations are superior to single herb products.
Okay. Well, one of the reasons that Omega Alpha does a lot more formulations than single herbs is because, and I'll use this as an example, milk thistle, okay? Everybody who has liver issues, there's no drugs for liver issues, so... Unless you know about milk thistle, most people used to just put their horse out in the pasture and just come to whatever and pull him back in once a week, once every 2 weeks, check the bloods and make sure to see if the liver enzymes are going down or not. So that was the standard protocol. And then when people who do know about milk thistle go out and they give the horse some milk thistle, and then they come back again and they do the same thing and they find that the liver enzymes come down faster, right? But there are many different herbs that will help bring liver enzymes down. And milk thistle is just one of them. The reason we do a formula is because when you have a single herb, the problem with it is sometimes your horse may not respond to that particular herb because it has a different biochemistry than all the different horses around, right? Everybody has a special horse. And if your horse happens to be one of those, giving it milk thistle is not going to do much for you, right? Secondly, milk thistle is grown all from different parts of the world, and you have different climate conditions. Year to year to year, you may have some years you have more of the active ingredient, some years you have less of the active ingredient, right? So if you run into a situation like that in a year where you have less active ingredient, again, you know, you may not have an efficacious product. So what we've realized is that, you know, if we combine a whole bunch of different herbs that have the effect of lowering blood enzyme levels, high liver enzyme levels, right, what we could do is basically open up a whole bunch of different mechanism pathways which can affect these liver enzymes to bring it down. So first of all, it works faster. Secondly, batch to batch to batch, you have less variation because, for example, if your milk thistle isn't having enough active ingredient, well, the other herbs in there pick up the slack and vice versa, right? Mm-hmm. And lastly, if you have a horse that is, say, allergic to milk thistle for whatever reason, and you do have those, right? You know, you don't need to put as much milk thistle in that one formulated product, so you have less chance of an allergic reaction happening at all, right?
Right.
Because the allergic reaction is a function sometimes of the concentration, right? So that's the reason why. So you have something that's efficacious all the time. You don't have to worry about the individual biochemistry of your horse. And you know there's enough active ingredients in there to actually produce an effect. And I use milk thistle as an example, but the same thing could be said for a premier product, right? Because mm-hmm. I know there are people who would use chase tree berry. But again, we have other herbs in there that do the same thing, but work by a different mechanism also, right? You know, so that, you know, things like our Endurigen product for energy levels, right? Everybody knows ginseng, but again, you know, things like the Elithrococcus, the Siberian ginseng, which is Siberian ginseng, ashwagandha, you know, all astragalus, all those things boost the energy levels of horses, but they all do it by different mechanisms sometimes, right? So, you know, that's why we use formulated products.
I was going to say, you just get a much broader base of products, and that's where you're a little more knowledgeable than most, because you would know more than one. You know, I go to the health food store and I'm like, I have this. And they're like, here, take this one herb thing. And so I guess I just need to start looking up what you have for it. I did take a swig of the GastroFX the other day, just so you know, I had heartburn and it was out there. And, you know, like I said, the taste for humans leaves something to be desired, but my heartburn was gone.
I was going to segue now into sugar. You know, these days, there's so many bad things being said about sugar. Now, to be fair, a little bit of sugar is not going to be bad for anybody. The problem is, as your horses get older, one of the things is that they all have insulin resistance. And, you know, the amount of sugar, if we will put in sugar in our product, the amount of sugar in there relative to all the other sugars that you're feeding them is probably a drop in a bucket, okay? But one of the things that we do realize is that if you give them too much sugar and they have insulin resistance, or you can put them on the pathway to insulin resistance, too much sugar is a bad thing, all right? Mm-hmm. They get sugar in many different forms. When your horse eats grass, a lot of that carbohydrate that you get out of the grass, the starches, break down into sugars very quickly. So that's why when you give fresh grass to a horse, they can eventually lead to things like laminitis. And that's because of the sugars in the grass, right? If you have an older horse that has insulin resistance, if you give them too much sugar, right, again, you can cause a rise in their blood sugar levels, right? So we have decided to take sugar out of all of our products. And right now, what we use is something called stevia. Stevia has been widely used for many years in Japan, it's in Brazil, right? And it's just been cleared by, I guess, the FDA for use as a sweetener, or as a natural sweetener. Stevia is a natural sweetener.
I just made cookies with it I kind of took half stevia, half sugar, and made cookies with it because it's a plant, right? It's not a chemical.
Yeah, it is plant. It's a plant. You extract it from a plant, right? It does taste a little bit different from regular sugar. But the thing about it is sweetened. It's a sweetener. The horses love it, right? With people, people sometimes don't like the taste of it, but there is different types of stevia that you can get. Anyway, but long story short, the horses love it. Now, in our product, which is the Equicel Light, it has electrolytes in Equicel Light, but it does not have the huge amount of sugar that you could buy in other types of electrolytes. And one of the things about you see in a lot of the other types of electrolytes is they put a lot of not just regular cane sugar, but they put a lot of dextrose. Dextrose is another name for glucose. So if you have a horse that has insulin resistance and you give them glucose, it's like putting a needle into their arm and just pumping it full of sugar. You know what I mean? So,
I didn't even think about that. How many horses out here have insulin resistance? And because it's so hot, people pump them full of electrolytes and they're pumping sugar in their horses. I never even thought about it.
you're basically giving them a huge amount of Coca-Cola with all that sugar, or pop with all that sugar into them with that electrolyte. And they really don't need that much sugar.
Right. Okay?
They need the sugar if let's say you're going to take.
Oh, we're having a connection issue with him today, I think.
I think so.
You know, but if you're just going to give it to him and let him walk around the barn type of thing, or hang out in the stalls, that's not a good thing for him.
And so you have a product called Equicell Light. And again, you can find out information on OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Now, Dr. Chang, you guys are having another Oasis. Is there a link to an article that we can post about formulations versus single ingredient products?
I don't think we have an article on that, but it's something that we might write up and put it up out there.
we're having a bad connection, Dr. Chang. So I'm just going to say we have an Oasis professional training. It's a training forum for coaches, trainers, and athletes. And Omega Alpha is committed to helping you learn more about their equine products by offering these free teleseminars or web classrooms. They're held the last Monday of the month at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern. You can ask questions after the webinar. Registering is easy, and you can also probably follow them on their Facebook page on Omega Alpha to find out when these teleseminars are. But you can call 1-800-651-3172 and ask for Joanne to get the classroom web address and entry code, and you can probably call Joanne and find out the schedule of the teleseminars. But they're really interesting to sit in on, for sure. I've listened to a couple of them. So you definitely need to check that out. Dr. Chang, is there anything else we need to know? I mean, you know everything, so.
there's probably lots of things that we need to know. But unfortunately, I wish I knew everything. And secondly, I wish we had time to, from now till forever. It's a little chunk.
I wanted to tell everybody that next Monday we'll be coming to you live from ADA. That's our twice a year show that we do from the American Equestrian Trade Association.
Jeff will probably be there.
Jeff will be there. And we always get a representative from Omega Alpha on the show with us. And we look forward to bringing you new products that we found at the trade show. So that'll all be coming up on next week's show. It's always one of the most fun things we do. And Dr. Chang, this year we're doing something called Periscope, which is a live video, so people will be able to watch from ADA as well live. So, it should be a lot of fun.
It's always nice to see the face behind the voices.
Well, hey, that's the thing, is that your pretty face could be broadcast live to millions, but unfortunately, you're not going.
Yeah. You know, I will tell you this. When we first started the line, right, somebody thought it would be a good idea to put my pretty face on out there on the labels, right? And then somebody said to him, you know, fantastic products, but you know what? You got to get rid of that guy on the label. It's just killing the sales. So I bow to the wisdom of the market.
Hey, Dr. Chang, something else here too. I just I haven't had a chance to talk to you since the listeners all know this, but I went to the top podcasting conference in the world last weekend, and we kind of figured out that the Horse Radio Network is now in the top 5 of all podcasting networks in the world, with over 4,200 episodes, and with everything that we've accomplished. And we have you to help thank for that, because you've been with us for so long. And I used you as an example of one of our tremendous sponsors that has been with us for so long and helped get us to the point where we're now leading the way, and podcasting is becoming huge now. And it's all thanks to fine sponsors like you and our listeners. But thank you so much for all your support and helping us build it to one of the biggest in the world.
It's my pleasure, but you don't sell yourself short. I mean, a lot of this is because of you guys, you and Jamie and Jennifer in the background. You guys make it happen.
You were the sponsor of our first episode, Dr. Chang. We love you, and we couldn't thank you enough. So thank you.
That's dating me now. You know that.
Yeah, it's been 20 years, Dr. Chang, we've been doing this.
42 years we've been doing this show.
Thank you, Dr. Chang. We appreciate it.
You guys go enjoy the heat now.
And do this. When you see Patty next time, give her a hug. It was her birthday yesterday. So
I will, definitely.
All right. Thanks, Dr. Chang.
Take care now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
He's so much fun. And by the way, he's just like that, just in person. We go out to dinner with him and stuff. He's a good guy.
So fun. I hate that we had a little bit of a delay on the connection. So that's why we all kept talking over each other.
Yeah, and I don't know why he was cutting out there. Hope it do better with the next guest. I don't know if that's a problem on our end, their end, or what it is. But let's do this. Let's take a break for our song. And we're going to hear from Equestrian Collections first with their product of the week. And then a little Love is a Rose by Templeton Thompson. We're coming back with much more show for you coming up. Glenn back with you, and I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections product of the week. What do we have this week, Debbie?
Well, this week I'm featuring the Noble Outfitters Running Strong belt in lady sizes. Now, every one of us out there has a million belts in our closet, but I'll bet you very few of us have this kind of belt in your closet. It is so unique and so cute. They have taken the design of a running martingale and made it into a belt. And it's not just a belt. It's a really quality leather. This is, the belt is only 1.25 inches wide at the widest point, which is just wide enough, but not too wide. And it's like a running martingale that goes around your waist and has buckles on it. It's just really unique. And I promise you, when you wear this belt out, your horse friends are going to say, "Oh my God, where did you get that belt? That is so cool. I trust you," because I'll tell you that's the truth, because one of our employees came in with that belt, and that's pretty much what everybody said to her. So now we're selling them. So we've got that one and a couple of other Noble Outfitters belts that are just super unique and super cute. But this Running Strong belt is just really something that you need to see. And it's only it's less than $50 for a really, really quality item. Noble Outfitters, one of our favorite vendors. They have great, great stuff and kind of unique and really pretty. And this one fits the bill. Comes in brown and black as well. And there's a size chart on the site right there. So if you have any questions about large, medium, small, or extra small, or whatever, the size chart is right there beside the choose size and color drop down.
And of course, you can find all the Noble Outfitters stuff there at Equestrian Collections. But if you're looking for this particular belt, which really does look like a running martingale, go to Noble Outfitters Running Strong Belt, and you'll find it there for $44.99, which is a really good price for a quality leather belt.
Love is a rose, but you better not pick it. Only grows when it's on the vine. Handful of thorns and you know you missed it. Lose your love when you say the word mine. I want to see what's never been seen. I want to live that age-old dream. Come on, boy, let's go together. Let's take the best ride now. Take the best ride now. Love is a rose, but you better not pick it. Only grows when it's on the vine. Handful of thorns and you know you missed it. Lose your love when you say the word mine. I wanna go to an old hoedown long ago in a western town. Pick me up, cause my feet are dragging. Give me a lift and I'll hay your wagon. Love is a rose, but you better on the vine. Handful of thorns and you know you missed it. Lose your love when you say the word mine. Only grows when it's on the vine. Handful of thorns and you know you missed it. Lose
lose your love when you say the word mine, mine. Love is a rose, love is a rose, love is a rose, hey, love is a rose.
That's Love is a Rose by Templeton Thompson. You can find all of her music over at templetonthompson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. We're brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. I just have one sad note I was kind of surprised to see this morning, and this won't mean anything to anybody that's younger, but it means a lot to people my age, and that's Frank Gifford, the legendary football player and broadcaster, died at the age of 84 at his home yesterday. They said he died of natural causes. Younger people might know him as Kathy Lee Gifford's husband, but he's a voice that anybody that watched football is going to know. And he also did a lot of the Olympics broadcasting for years and years and years, and there was just nothing like Frank Gifford. He hated to fly. He would not fly. He just would not fly. So he had this bus he traveled around with to all the football games, and he was known for his bus, and he used to be in the bus all the time, driving between football game and football game for Monday Night Football. Did that for 20, 30 years. He was a Hall of Famer, played football for a couple different teams. But yeah, so Frank Gifford's not with us anymore. And
is she still married to him?
Yeah, she was still married to him.
Didn't he have like some scandalous like relationship?
I think I didn't read, well, maybe I got that wrong, but I didn't read that they were apart. So,
well, I mean, but didn't he like have like,
I can't remember. There's been so many.
Yeah, I think he was like with some stewardess or something, flight attendant. I don't know.
I don't remember.
At any rate, well, yeah, I'm sad that he's gone.
Monday Night Football, which won't mean anything to Jamie because she's baseball. But
I know what Monday Night Football is, and okay, I know Frank Gifford is, but only because of Kathy Lee.
See, I knew that. I knew that. He was the voice we grew up with on football, you know, and Olympics. I mean, he was a big Olympics guy for NBC for a long, long time.
Well, I'm sorry the world is short of him. I'm sure he's in a happy place, but I'm going to have to watch, Hoda and Kathy Lee today and see what's going on.
There you go. There you go. Hey, I have happy news for all the bronies out there.
Oh God. Let me explain what a brony is. Because just in case those who don't know, Glenn is a brony.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
bronies, yeah, are men.
I'm in that camp.
Yeah, sure. Men, straight and or gay, men that are incredibly into My Little Ponies.
That's right.
My Little Ponies. Adult men and children, like younger teens, boys that are into the My Little Pony. Friendship is Magic is kind of the hot show right now in the brony world. Sorry. Go ahead.
And apparently your little boy has been into My Little Ponies a little bit here and there.
He liked Pinkie Pie was his favorite.
Yeah. Lionsgate has announced that they are teaming up with Hasbro to bring the mega popular My Little Pony Friendship is Magic to the big screen. They're making a movie.
Oh my God, a My Little Pony movie. It's going to be like Dragon God. It's going to be like when the theaters are showing the new Star Wars and people line up the night before. It's going to be a bunch of dudes dressed as ponies.
That's exactly right. If you were to cast one of the parts in the My Little Pony movie, knowing voices, who would you cast first?
Well, I think the one that I said, I'm sad that I didn't even know one of them. Pinkie Pie, I believe, is really Southern, so it'd have to be some Southern actress. So I don't know.
I can tell you they have cast the first person and did a press release last week. Kristen Chenoweth is going to be the voice.
She's Pinkie Pie. There you go.
She has now agreed to do the movie, and why not? Because she'll make $1 zillion. And she got the voices, doesn't she? I mean, she's the one, if you're going to cast to this kind of movie, she's got that squeaky voice thing going.
And so, she's from Oklahoma. She's a Southern girl. She can turn it on.
Yeah, man. She's cute as a Dickens, too. But anyway, that's My Little Pony and news here today. And then I got to tell you real quick.
It's been too long since we've talked about My Little Pony.
I know. Well, I have to represent the bronies out there, right? Because I am such a brony. I can honestly say I've never seen a My Little Pony show ever.
DVR it. It's amazing.
Proud of that, by the way.
It'll change your life.
Yeah, I know. So there was these two runaways from Florida. I got the bizarre horror story of the week. And it's already Monday. It's only Monday. So here we go. Two runaway kids from Florida, apparently like 16 years old, and they took the family car and they disappeared. And they decided to drive to Georgia, Macon. Well, while they were in Macon, I guess they parked the car. And they thought it would be a great idea to steal a horse and some tack. So they went into this farm that was on Bass Road in Bibb County, which you probably know where that is. I have no idea.
I do.
Well, they
right
got
off 475.
There you go. They got the police got a call of this saddled horse running down Bass Road. They located the horse and found its owner and reported that the teenagers attempted to take the horses and saddles from their barn. And they did recover all of them because apparently the teenagers discovered it was harder to steal a horse than they thought. And the horse got loose and ended up running down the road. Now, what they were planning on doing, these are runaways with a car. What they were planning on doing with the horses and the saddles, I have no idea. That's missing in the story, and I wish I really knew the answer. But it doesn't sound like it was well thought out. So this is my thought. Do you think 16-year-olds, right? They're probably boyfriend, girlfriend. They're away by themselves for the first time. The girl has always wanted a pony, and she just harassed him to the point till they got to Macon, and he finally said, okay, we'll steal one. Do you think that's what happened?
Oh, they could have been like, let's steal a horse and ride into the woods and live as woods people
well, that's
forever
what found
together.
Was in the woods because they got away.
And this is really actually, I loved this part of the story. Is it was so hot that the deputy saw the two teenagers walking down Bass Road and he identified them. And he's like, oh my gosh, those are those guys. So he stops the car and he knows he can't wrangle two teenagers by himself, you know? So he stops the car and he's like, hey, awful hot out. And they're like, man, yes, sir, it is hot out. Y'all want to get in the car and sit, cool off a little bit? And they were like, bing, took off running. But that would have been really cool if they'd have been like, oh, yeah, we'd love to get in your hot cop car. And then you just, boop, drives them to the station.
Have you ever seen the show Southern Justice?
No.
Oh, my God. First of all, the reason he has to politely get in the back of the car is because these Southern sheriffs are huge. There isn't a skinny one on that show. And they ain't going to be chasing down no teenagers, let me say. Yeah. Oh,
that very well could be. Y'all want to get in? Cool off a little bit?
They have to learn other ways to do it that doesn't involve running or exercise.
Yeah. So they get a rope. Rope them. You learn to toss a rope.
So anyway, I don't know what the teenagers were thinking, why they thought it'd be a good idea to steal a horse in a different state. I don't know. But their parents came up to pick them up. So they'll be heading back to Florida very shortly.
I have a list. If you want a list, or do we have our guest? I'm not quite sure. But
Jennifer, let's find out.
I have a list that's so
bad. All right, Jennifer's going to try and get the guest on here.
Oh, I might not be able to do this list.
Oh, no.
On the show. Okay, so it's from EquestrianEmpire.com, which I've never heard
I've
of.
I've never heard of them. Uh-uh.
And the list are 23 things that equestrians say. Just normal things that we say, but that can be taken out of context by the general public. Okay, and this has happened to all of us at certain times. So I'll give you a couple and you just tell me if I need to stop. Okay. This is going to be good.
All right. You need to stop. If you can't get that far in, you need to stop.
I'll start with number one.
You can't even do number one.
Yes. It's all horses. It's just horse related. It's just horse related. Uh-huh. Man, it feels great to have 17 hands between my legs today.
Okay. Yeah. You can stop. What is this website?
He needs a good 20-minute warm-up.
Okay? Yeah, you can stop. We'll do that on the late night show. It's EquestrianEmpire.com?
Dude, it's all stuff that we say. Give him his head. You're being too rough with your hands. What? This is all stuff that I've said like a million times. She needs a really like a large girth. You look really good on him. I gotta stop. I can't.
Yes,
do it
you gotta stop.
But it's. I mean, it's just horsey things. I don't
Heels
know.
Down, what shoulders back. Discipline.
Yeah, that's why your mind is so dirty. He's just really soft in my hands. He's really soft.
And I'm sure she's so proud that she makes appearances on this show. And that is... Lindsay, please save us. Lindsay White from Riders for Helmets. Please tell Jamie to stop. Stop. She's...
Stop, Jamie. Stop.
See? Just always wear protection, okay? I made that one up.
What kind of show is this?
Just swing your leg over and get on top of him and ride. What's the problem?
She found a list about common sayings that all horse people use that could be construed in a different way. And
he's just really, really stiff. He's really stiff.
All right, Lindsay. Aren't you glad you agreed to come
I'm
on this morning?
Now.
Aren't you glad you asked to be here?
Absolutely.
Of course, we have Lindsay White on. She is from Riders for Helmets, and we just finished Helmet Awareness Day last week, and we're getting her on to get a report. Lindsay, it must have went well because I bought a helmet.
Wow, then everything was worthwhile.
It was. All that work you put in, all those hours and hours and days and weeks of effort were worth it because I got a discount on a Tipperary. Just saying.
Wow, excellent. Well, I'm glad to see that you bought a new helmet. That's good.
I did. Mine was 8 years old. You know, because of you, you cost me money. Not only did I have to buy a new riding helmet, I had to buy a new bike helmet because I checked that date, and that was like 10 years old. So it's all your
That's
fault.
Too funny.
How'd it go?
It went really, really well. We had one of the biggest supports that we've ever had for the event globally. We had lots of media coverage. We had tech shops in 12 countries taking part this year. And we had 15 different helmet brands. So it was just a massive, massive event. In the run-up, the week of week before Helmet Awareness Day, last week, we literally did some pre-promotion events, and you know, we reached over 500,000 people on Twitter, and it just went really, really well.
Wow. Congratulations. I know you put in a ton of work. You don't get paid a dime, and you put in a ton of work to do this.
No, I don't. Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny because we had several people call us up, and you know, and we do try our very best because we get so many emails and phone calls and everything else to try and get back to people as quickly as possible. But it was basically me and Emily. And, you know, one lady said, oh, I haven't heard back from one of your staff yet. And I just, you know, that caused a chuckle because I don't think people realize.
Yeah, there really is no staff.
There is no staff. So, but no, it went really, really well. I was so pleased with the support and, you know, and so grateful to all of the helmet brands again for taking part this year, and all of the retailers too. I mean, the retailers are so behind it. They do events in their store, they do events online. I mean, they are 110% behind this thing now. And you know, you kind of notice the difference from when we first started back in 2010, and people were saying, what is it, what is, you know, International Helmet, I want to say. And now the retailers are like, you haven't told us the date for the event yet this year yet, you know. So it's funny because now they want to know when it is so they can get things planned in their stores. And just the support from the tech shops was incredible. And, you know, the support from equestrians as well. We had something quite novel that happened this year in promotion of the event. We had a lady in New Zealand that actually started something that's now gone quite viral. And she actually, other than wearing a helmet, she was naked, but she had a board in front of her, I will say, covering all of the...
I saw those pictures. Were they out of Australia?
Yeah. No, they started in New Zealand, then they came out of Australia, and now they've gone from the UK. They're kind of going all over the place. But if you go to the Riders number 4 and then Helmets Facebook page, they're all on there. But it basically, the slogan was, I'd rather go naked or ride naked than not wear a helmet. And that has just gone so incredibly viral. It really, really has. So we're really pleased about that.
I am too, by the way. I am really pleased. It's Horse Husband approved the whole campaign. Just saying. I am so pleased. I am suffering through looking at the pictures on your website right now. I am just...
Please don't give the impression that they're smutty, because they're not. They're done in a very, very tasteful way. I mean, you know, some of them are just downright hilarious the way they've been done, but some of them are just, you know, there's nothing inappropriate being shown, so I want to stress that.
And it's not just females either. You got males in there.
No, we've got the guys doing it too. We've got some people holding saddles in front of them and all sorts of things.
I got to say, some of them are pretty clever how they covered the bits. I'm just saying. Yeah, they're pretty clever.
They are. They're very clever. And I want to stress as well that just because Helmet Awareness Day is over, which obviously Riders for Helmets organizes once a year, but just because that's over, Riders for Helmets does actually... educate equestrians like 365 days of the year. Our website receives about 75,000 visitors a month now, which is incredible. So, you know, we've put lots of stories on there. We educate year round. So it doesn't just stop because Helmet Awareness Day is over. And these photographs won't stop either. We've got some things planned and in the works to continue this naked helmet awareness campaign. So we, you know, keep sending the photos in. Anyone that's brave enough to do it, maybe some of the horses in the morning listeners might be brave enough.
You know what? Jamie said she was posing today for the picture and going to send it over.
Now, or is that you volunteering, Jamie?
That's what I heard earlier. I might have been wrong.
What? Jennifer said that my photo will get sent in right after Glenn's.
And nobody wants to see I guarantee you. Nobody wants to see that.
How can you let your listeners down and not accept that challenge, Glenn?
First of all, nobody wants to see that. That's the first thing. And it would ruin your campaign. It would just end. There would be an end to the campaign right there.
The thing is, Glenn, I've got a 17.3 horse getting shipped to me tomorrow. I'll take a picture of myself standing completely naked behind him.
Yeah,
you won't see a lick of it.
Actually, he's so tall, you might see everything. So reconsider that. I just posted the video. You guys did a video. I can't play the music on the air, though. But you did a video that I'm watching here, and I'm quite fascinated by. I just posted that on Horses in the Morning page with a lot of the...
We did. Yeah, a lot of the photos I've been putting into videos. And there's still tons more photos to come. So if you go to the Horses in the Morning Facebook, you can watch that video. And then hop on over to the Riders for Helmets Facebook. Because literally we're putting about a photo out every day at the moment. We have that many still to release. We've got Gina Miles has done it. Hawley Bennett, the Canadian Olympic event has done it. You know, some riders in the UK have now stepped up and said they're going to do it for us. So keep watching that Facebook page, because we're going to be putting a lot of more photos still to come. And like I say, you know, I'm just so very grateful for all the support from equestrians globally as well. This really was a banner year for us. And we have just had so much support from everybody sharing the event on social media. But we just want it to stop there. I mean, Riders for Helmets, coming up on nearly 24,000 Facebook followers now. And we're growing. And, you know, and we share really educational content on our website year round. So it's not just about Helmet Awareness Day. We really love it when equestrians share their helmet stories on the website too. So,
who thought that you could get DQs to pose naked? But there's some of those too.
They're sassy. I'm telling you.
I know. I can't believe Gina Miles did it.
I can see Gina doing it. She's a Gina in her younger days was probably a wild child. I can see her doing it. I'm looking. Some of these pictures are very clever. What they did, it is cute. And I'm busy right now. So Jamie, take over, because there's lots of pictures to look at.
Yeah. Just let it go, Glenn. Let it go.
I hate my job. This is tough.
Well, Lindsay, where can people go to find out more right now? Or maybe if they want to submit a picture just to your Facebook page.
Yeah, they can either go to our website. It's riders, the number four, and helmets.com. And if they just go to the contact page, they can shoot us an email. Or they can literally just post them directly to our Facebook wall, riders, again, the number four, helmets. And you'll find us on Facebook, and we're on Pinterest, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter. So any of those, they can literally just post photos, and we will, you know, just put tag riders for helmets in them. We'll find them, and we will share them. So we want to keep this going year round. We want to keep it growing.
Any chance that this will be a calendar someday?
Yeah, we have actually. We've approached several photographers and several more leading riders that have not yet featured in the photograph. So there's every chance the calendar may be coming in September. So watch this space.
Very good. I'm just looking at the cover on the video is Britta Pedersen. And she did a great picture. I love that picture. And I love the fact that she's using a brand new saddle pad so as not to get the dirty one beside her skin. I love that it's a brand new one.
I know. It just helps that she looks like a model.
She does, yeah. That doesn't hurt either. I would like to say I have a favorite picture really in here, but they're all pretty good. Anytime you got naked women, I'm approved.
My question for you guys.
Yeah.
If we do a calendar, obviously, I was thinking rather than do a mixed calendar, we should do a male version of the calendar and then a female one. Would that make sense? Correct?
I don't know. What do you think, Jamie?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to buy just a woman calendar, but I'll buy a guy-girl calendar because the guys are in it. So okay. I'm just saying, you might sell more of one. You know, you might not sell many of the, you know what I mean? Just if you're asking my opinion.
I would, as a marketer, I would go mixed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll do that then.
And you let us know, and if you send us free ones, we'll be happy to promote it all day long. So...
Glenn, you're such a hornball.
I love it. I'm a horse husband. What do you want?
Oh my gosh, you're making this sound so smutty, and it's not. It's a bad impression. It's very tastefully done, isn't it?
It is very tastefully done, yes.
All right. Good.
Very tastefully done. And Jamie, we'll be looking for your picture later in the day.
It's on its way, Glenn. All right, just hold your breath.
All right. I'm actually going to challenge you both now. It's like that ice bucket challenge that went so viral. I'm actually challenging the two of you right now to do it. There you go.
If Jamie does this right now outside, she will die from heat exposure in Arizona.
She doesn't have to do it right now, but I'm just saying that I'm challenging pair of you to do it. There you go.
I will definitely put a bucket of water on my head.
You should do one, Glenn. You should do one with Scooter.
With Scooter? Yeah, he would love that. Oh man! Again, you don't want to ruin your challenge with me doing it.
Driving with Scooter in the car. There you go.
Please hang up on that, Glenn.
RidersForHelmets.com, Riders for Helmets on Facebook. Thanks, Lindsay.
We're losing you.
We have a bad connection, Lindsay. I'll talk to you again sometime soon, okay? Bye, Lindsay.
Bye.
You're not going to pose?
There's no way for me to look good doing this.
Me either.
Just.
I admire all the people who have because they have more self-confidence than I do. I admire that.
My self-confidence is in different avenues of my life. My naked body is not where I am brave. Okay.
Where she is brave is reading some of those things from that list earlier. She's very brave doing that, but.
I don't know what you're talking about, but wrap your legs around him and try to get his head up. Go.
We're going to end with a we're going to end with that. We're just going to end. I don't know where else to go after naked women and your
sit
quotes.
Sit deeper and move with his rhythm and stick your chest out. Sit up. God. I am so guilty of all of these. Just give him his head.
And these are all things you say during a lesson.
Yes, yes. All the time.
And you never think about them being dirty when you say them during a lesson.
I will say, drive him forward more to a 12-year-old girl. What is wrong with me? I'm going to hell.
Oh, Jennifer, you're not helping. Jennifer's over here posting, well, drivers wear lap rugs. I don't think anybody wants to see that, Jennifer. I really don't. I don't think it's going to help her campaign at all. But I admire all these other people.
More leg, less hand. More leg.
Uda just typed to me, only dirty if your mind is in the gutter. Yes. Well, apparently we all are here this morning, Uda. Apparently we all are.
Uda, you know, and then you know what? When you're sitting on a horse, you look good on him. You look good on him.
You can make anything sound dirty, I got to say. All right, that's it for today. We are coming back tomorrow with endurance. Is tomorrow endurance, Jennifer? Help me out here. I'm so screwed up this
month. Yes, it is.
Yeah, we have Endurance Day. And we have the winner. The 73-year-old guy who won the Tevis this year is coming on with us. His name is Potato. And we had to pre-record it because Potato said, to hell, I'm not getting up unless I have to that early in the morning. And he's from the West Coast. And you know what? When you're 73 and you just finished your 22nd Tevis, you can say whatever you want and you can dictate. So we had to record it earlier. And I will tell you that I asked him how he got the name Potato. And I will tell you, it's kind of insulted I asked. So you want to hear that conversation tomorrow morning with Karen on Endurance Day here on Horses in the Morning. Should be a lot of fun. And then Wednesday, Jamie will be back on the show at 9 a.m. Eastern. And I'll pre-approve her list on Wednesday. So we'll make sure that's good.
You know, he's just my, my horse is so stiff. He's just stiff.
We're gonna, you know what? Do you have a quote you want to leave us with, Jamie?
He got me off twice today. He got me off twice today. God. Oh, Jennifer says, "Will you please get out of his mouth?"
Well, that was my wife.
That's your wife. Yeah.